This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Coming up in just a little bit, they profiled Chiefsaholic in the New York Times. You have to hear this because it is so funny to me. Our NFL playoff coverage is brought to you by Centric. Learn more at centric.com/610. Our NFL playoff coverage is also brought to you by Metro Ford. Visit their inventory online at kcmetroford.com. If you missed it earlier today, we were joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Always good to catch up with him. Wanted to play this for you again in case you missed it. Our conversation with Patrick Mahomes starts with he thanked a woman named Julie on his Twitter account earlier this week and said that she was the reason that he was able to play in the AFC Championship game. We started our conversation with, how did she get him ready for Sunday's game?
Extremely, man. She's done a lot for me over my time with the Kansas City Chiefs as far as my last ankle injury, my knee injury, and obviously this one this last week. Just preparing me for the game. She runs a thing called quarterback school that we keep our shoulder health and stuff like that every single year. She just continues to be more and more involved with my preparation. And obviously, everybody knows about Rick and everybody knows about Bobby and all the other guys that work with me on a day-to-day basis. But Julie's a critical part that doesn't get a lot of the love and recognition that she deserves. So I was glad that Rick tweeted that and I was able to kind of retweet it and put my own stamp on it.
How much of her help to you is also helping you mentally go out there? Because the physical side of getting your body ready is certainly important, but also mentally knowing that you can trust and play on that ankle. How much does she help there?
Yeah, I think when you build a relationship with someone as far as how you work and you put in time trying to get better, she knows how to push you to the right limit. I think that's been a big thing is she had me in the pool the day after and knew that I was able to run on the treadmill and do different stuff like that, even when I may have not thought it with the soreness and stuff like that. And so her knowing me and knowing how competitive I am, she kind of pushed me to the right limit in order for me to be as close to 100% as I could be out there on game day.
A lot was made of Burrowhead, and we'll get to some of your teammates' comments about it. But how impressed were you at Arrowhead and Chiefs Kingdom for how they showed up? Because that place was loud the entire game.
Yeah, they were rocking, man. And, I mean, it makes a huge difference. With them being that loud and causing havoc for the other team, I mean, it gives us energy, too. And whenever stuff's not going our way on the offense and we have that crowd behind us, it helps us kind of keep things in perspective and go out there and be who we are and know that we have all of Kansas City and all of the Chiefs Kingdom behind us, man. And I love playing at Arrowhead, man. It's a special place that I luckily enough to play at a lot of times.
I feel like you guys certainly met the challenge and knew the importance of who you were playing, the importance of the magnitude. I felt like fans were the exact same. I don't feel like Cincinnati just called you the players out. I felt like they kind of called the fans out, and fans certainly took that as a challenge as well.
Oh, no doubt, man. I think Chiefs Kingdom, we roll together, everybody, and we appreciate the support as much as they appreciate us. And so it's a collective group, man. And having this advantage, this home field advantage, is something that is the reason why we're in the position that we're in today, and that we've been able to go to Super Bowls and enjoy this success, because we do it all together and it takes everybody.
Right now we're talking to Patrick Mahomes on the show here. Patrick, how cool is it to see your teammates celebrate? Some of them haven't gone to a Super Bowl. Some of the guys have been there. Chris Jones has been there. Kelsey has been there. You guys have a lot of new players and rookies. How cool is it to see some of them celebrate going to their first Super Bowl?
Yeah, man, it's cool, man. You feel like the old guy in the locker room when you're talking about the Super Bowls you've been in, and to the guys that haven't been there, and you're talking about all the great times that you've had there, and being able to win one and do that different type of stuff. And so to have these guys to be able to enjoy it so early in their career, I mean, there's so many rookies and young dudes on this team that don't know what it's like to not be in the Super Bowl. So for them to be able to be in the Super Bowl so early in their career, it's exciting for them, but you can't let it be too exciting, because you want them to still stay locked in and ready to go, because the job's not finished. We want to win it and not lose it.
Absolutely. Do you have that moment after the game where you just kind of allow yourself to celebrate and you allow yourself to think, man, we're going to our third Super Bowl in the last 4 years?
Yeah, you definitely allow yourself to celebrate. I think the only difference is whenever you've lost one, in the back of your head, you know that the job's not done a little bit quicker. I won the first one, and before we even had won one, when I got the Super Bowl, I think I celebrated a little bit longer. Whereas now I'm already moved on. I'm already ready to prepare for the Eagles and understand the challenge is going to be, and the challenge of Super Bowl week in general, which is different than every other week of the season. So I'm definitely ready to go. But I definitely enjoyed it for about a night, and now we're on to the Eagles now.
How much did the loss against Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl motivate you? How much has it motivated you to want to get back to this point where now you get a chance to avenge what happened the last time you were there?
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that motivates you. I mean, when you're on the Super Bowl stage and you don't win the game, man, it's one of the worst feelings that you can have. I mean, it's so cool to be in the game and enjoy the week, but you want to win it. You don't dream about losing the Super Bowl. You dream about winning it, and it definitely was something that hurt, and it was something that I've built up for now and try to do whatever I can to put myself in this position again. But now, how can you go out there and grab it and find a way to win against a great football team?
After the game, the camera cut to you and you're pointing to the sky and you're clearly saying something. They normally don't show you in that moment. What are you thinking in that exact moment? I mean, right when the ball goes through the upright, you know you're going to the Super Bowl. What are you thinking in that situation?
No, I think I said after the game, man, I was just thanking God at that moment. I mean, during the game, when you're sore and you're hurting and your ankle's hurting, all you can do is just pray for strength, man. And that's all I was doing, was just trying to get the strength to go out there and do what I can to help my team win, man. And so we dealt with a lot of adversity throughout that game, and we have throughout the season, but I'm glad that we were able to persevere and get to this game now. And now how can we continue to get better and better in order to try to find a way to beat a really good football team?
You and I have had conversations about social media before, and you're pretty knowledgeable. You keep up with this kind of stuff. When was the first time that you saw the mayor video from Cincinnati?
I saw it pretty quick. I mean, I got the Bleacher Report, and I followed them, so I saw it pretty quickly. I didn't actually watch the whole entire thing. I just kind of saw the quote, but then people started sending it to me, so I had to watch it, and obviously it was – I mean, I think he was trying to do it and trying to be funny and have a good time, but it definitely motivated not necessarily me as much, I think, as my teammates around me. They were wanting to have my back, and I think you saw that at the end of the game.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, because you go over to Tracy Wolfson, and you're doing your normal press conference, and, I mean, Orlando Brown comes over there and says, put some respect on my boy, and then Kelsey had an epic 15 minutes there with that conversation, and then when he goes up on the stage with Jim Nance, how cool was it to see that you didn't really have to do the talking after the game? Your teammates stood up and had your back in those moments.
Yeah, no, I mean, that just speaks to the teammates that I have around me. I mean, we got a lot of great guys that put in the work, and we all believe in each other, man. And we're best friends out of the building, just like we are in the building. So, luckily for me, we have a lot of great teammates and a lot of great players, and it puts me in position to win a lot of football games. But I wish I had the quick thinking like Travis, man. He has, like, the greatest quotes of all time. So I'm about to, like, start writing mine down before or something so I can get some quotes in there.
I actually wanted to ask you this. Were you a big wrestling fan as a kid? I feel like most boys around this age were big wrestling fans. I mean, for him to pull that Rock quote out in that moment, epic moment.
Yeah, I was a big wrestling fan, but I caught the tail end of the Rock. Yeah, but he had already started to become an actor by the time I was really into it. So that's, you know, Travis is like 45 years old, so he can remember those days with the Rock and everything like that. But I was more of a John Cena guy, You know, you had Booker T. I mean, there were some guys that I liked, but not necessarily. The Rock was a little bit before my time.
Have you seen that he actually co-signed Travis Kelce's post-game comments?
Oh, I did see that. I mean, how crazy is that, man? The Rock, I mean, that's like the superstar of superstars, man. I could see Travis in that role one day. He might be someone that leaves football after hopefully another 5-10 more years, and he might be able to move into some sort of celebrity status like that.
Right now we're talking to Patrick Mahomes here for a couple of more minutes. After your fumble, sometimes you kind of just sit down on the sideline. This time you were kind of pacing up and down the sidelines and you were talking to teammates. What are you saying in that moment?
Yeah, I think I've learned from my mistakes, man. I think last year when stuff started going downhill in the second half of that Bengals game, I started trying to do too much and started trying to make something happen to try to correct my mistakes. Whereas this year, I knew I made a mistake. I mean, everybody saw and now how dumb of a mistake that was. So all I could do was just rely on my defense to make stops when it counts and still continue to do what I was doing the entire game. Not make it too much, not try to do too much, just be who I am and trust my teammates. And that's what I try to do, and it was enough to go out there and get a win.
How proud were you of your team that you guys were able to overcome these mistakes? I don't have to tell you, but in the previous three matchups against Cincinnati, it was just something always that happened that was a big reason why you lost, whether it was right before the end of the first half, an interception in overtime, just something normally happened against Cincinnati. How good was it that you guys made this mistake, and not just you, but the rest of your team were able to rebound from it and still find a way to win?
Yeah, I think you saw that from a lot of guys, man. I mean, everybody's learned. I think that's been the biggest thing. Like I said, I didn't try to do too much after I made the mistake that I did. The young guys stepped up and made big plays. I mean, we had so many rookies out there getting big minutes and a huge game, and they were able to make plays when it counted. And you see guys like Chris Jones who he thought he didn't make the plays that he needed to make at the end of last year, and he made those plays this year and probably was the most impactful player on the football field this last game. So, I mean, it's just a lot of guys that stepped up when it counted, and it took everybody. And I think that we said it before the game, we was going to do this together, and we did.
You and I have talked a lot about next man up and how important it is in those situations for guys to sort of answer the call. I think this was the most complete team victory that you've had as a team since you've been there before. All three phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams, you can point to so many guys that made a big play to help you guys win on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we've built it up all this entire season. I mean, I don't think everybody's loved that we haven't won a lot of blowout games, but it's taken everybody to win all these games that we've won. And that we've played in a lot of close games against a lot of great opponents, and everybody stepped up at different places. And so I was glad to see that everybody stepped up in one game with such magnitude to win it. And now how can we continue that trend and get better and better so that we're ready to go in the Super Bowl?
There's been a little conversation about the officiating. Were you surprised that they threw the flag on your final offensive possession?
Not the last one. I mean, I was pretty far out of bounds, and he gave me the extra little push. But, I mean, it was – the guy's playing hard. It's hard, man. It's a hard game to play. I was trying to get out of bounds to conserve as much time as possible, and he's trying to get me out of bounds and not give me the first down. So it's a hard play for him to stop, and he had had a heck of a game. I mean, he had been a force the entire game against us. You feel bad for him because you know that he was giving everything he had. But, I mean, I was pretty far out of bounds. I mean, I knew I was pretty far out of bounds when I got pushed and I hit the bench, and that's pretty far back there.
There's a lot of storylines in this Super Bowl. I mean, as many storylines as I can remember, this is the first matchup between two black quarterbacks. How proud are you of that?
I am proud, man. I mean, we've came a long way, and as I've gotten the NFL and obviously learned more and more about the history of the black quarterback, man, I'm happy that we're going to be on this stage, and it couldn't be against a better guy, man, and Jalen Hurts and someone who's done it the right way. I've met a couple of times, just a great dude and works his tail off, man. And I think you can see that with how his teammates believe in him, and how they've gotten better and better each and every year. And I'm glad that we're going to be able to represent the black quarterback in the biggest game of them all. So it's going to be a great experience, man, and I just hope it's a great football game.
Which storyline do you think is better, the matchup between Jason and Travis Kelce or the fact that Coach Reed is going up against his former team?
I don't know, man. I mean, both of them are good storylines. I mean, I think there's only one coach ever that has played against four, has coached for and coached against the same team in the Super Bowl. So that'll be awesome to see. But then having the brothers go up against each other, man, I mean, it couldn't be two better guys, too, as far as Jason and Travis, man. So it'll be cool to see those guys go up against each other and get out there and play. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a football game, and we'll all be ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I normally wouldn't tell you what to do, but this might be a week where you can't go on with Jason Kelce. You can't go on their podcast this week.
Yeah, I haven't been asked to yet, but I'm sure they have a podcast, and they'll have a special one for sure. And they need to bring Papa Kelce on that thing, man. Papa Kelce is the OG, man. We got to get him on that podcast.
Yeah, I would love to see their parents freak or fly at Miles, because the mom, she's at every single Chiefs and Eagles game. They got a bunch of Southwest reward points.
Yeah, I've been able to meet Donna a couple of times. She's a great person, man. He's a great family. Travis has a lot of great people around him, and it's kind of become like a second family to me, because I'm always around them too. And it's cool to see, man, to have that much support for not only him, but for Jason and the grandkids and everybody like that.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today. Patrick, I think I speak for everybody when I say congratulations, and I thought you said it well, man. Job not done. Go ahead and bring that second Lombardi trophy home.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. I appreciate it. Real quick, I just want to shout out Texas Tech for beating Iowa State. Iowa State's went down to Mizzou, and Texas Tech back-to-back weeks, man. We're on top.
That is Patrick Mahomes joining us on the show today. We'll react to what he had to say coming up on the other side. And the New York Times did a story on Chiefsaholic. You guys will want to hear the quotes from this one. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch former All-Pro tackle Mitchell Schwartz Tuesday starting at 3 o'clock on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The home of the Royals is 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
We'll get back to very serious matters here coming up in a bit. But I want to encourage each and every one of you. There is a story right now on the New York Times that is a really well-done piece. It is on Chiefsaholic. Now, there's some really funny stuff in this story. There's also some very serious stuff in this story. And we'll probably get to both of them. But I would just encourage you to read it for yourself. Let's get to the funny stuff first, though. Bad boys. So we can now confirm that he was not wearing the wolf costume when he robbed the bank. The police in this story said he was not wearing the wolf costume. He was wearing a regular paintball mask. So according to this story, according to the police, he pulls up at the Tulsa Bank. He then grabs a pistol, puts it in the teller's face, and said, "Give me all you got." Quote, he was charged with robbery with a firearm after police say he stuck a CO2 pistol in a teller's face at a Tulsa credit union. He had been arrested just minutes after the police say that they got the call. Now, maybe I have just listened to way too many rap songs, and I've also seen way too many crime television shows. I don't know how you were getting to the amount of money that Chiefsaholic says he was getting to, but now you don't got money to post your bond? He wasn't reprimanded without bond. He could get out right now. He could have been at the AFC Championship game. He could have been at these playoff games supporting his Kansas City Chiefs. He didn't put any money aside for a bail. If you're living a criminal life, you know what you should do. You should put some bucks to the side. He's out at Patrick Mahomes charity events buying paintings. You didn't put any money aside in case you had some legal issues. You were robbing banks. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. They said that they believed that he was robbing this bank on the way to Houston to go to the game. You got your priorities all messed up. You're spending monies on tickets and paintings. Ain't saving nothing for the lawyer fees. Doesn't make any sense. Now, you would think that this situation will have humbled Chiefsaholic. That's what you would assume. Right now, you're in jail. In prison. You're awaiting trial. You would think that this situation would show him some humility that maybe he didn't have. Nope. The New York Times called Chiefsaholic and asked me if he wanted to do an interview. He said he would only do the interview if he got paid. The story then goes on to say that he told them, "I'm currently in the process of selling my story rights. If the New York Times is interested in making an offer, then please feel free to let me know. Thanks for reaching out." And he hung up the phone. Rob, do we believe this story? Do we believe that Chiefsaholic right now is in the process of selling his story rights? This seems like more lies. Having your lies and trying to keep up with the Joneses, isn't that what puts you in this situation? You don't got to try to flex for the rest of us anymore. You're in jail. I don't care how good you had it when you was free. You're not free right now. You don't got to lie to us anymore. You're not trying to keep up any appearances at this point. The same people that you were trying so hard to impress a few months ago are now mocking you. Your friends didn't put no GoFundMe together for your bail money. Now you eating in the chow line. You got this attitude when they call you for an interview, you only gonna do it if you get paid. Chiefsaholic, have you learned nothing through any of this? You've learned nothing. Now, this part of the story, this is the last funny part of the story to me. So they interviewed Weird Wolf for this story. I mean, if you're going to do a Chiefs fan super story for the New York Times, you have to interview other super fans.
That's just journalism.
Have to, you know? If you did an interview on me, you got to interview people I know. So they interviewed other Chiefs super fans. They got Weird Wolf. They got fake Andy Reid. All of them, they interviewed them. Weird Wolf said that he always had a question of where the money was coming from, but just never asked any questions. Like, how is he keeping up with this? Chiefsaholic was living a very expensive lifestyle. He's sitting premium at the Super Bowl. Some of you have looked at those Super Bowl tickets. It ain't cheap. They said they always had some questions, just didn't know. Weird Wolf also said that he was very disappointed, that he thought whenever he was ready to hang his costume head up, that he was going to hand the torch to Chiefsaholic, and said that he's sad right now that there's no successor to the thrones. Some of you right now have a chance to be that successor. You just been a regular Chiefs fan all these years. What benefits have you gotten from that? What benefits have you gotten from just, you know, following the law, watching the team on television, going to a game or two, going to a bar to meet up with your friends and watching? There ain't no kudos in that. Do you want the glory? Well, the glory is go paint your face. The glory is go buy a wolf costume. That's the glory in it.
Weird
Wolf.
You
guys don't love the Chiefs nearly as much as this man loved the Chiefs. He loves the Chiefs a little more than you loved them.
Weird Wolf was looking for a successor?
That's
why?
I'm serious.
Do we really need a line of succession like we're the Kingdom of England for the Chiefs super fans?
I'm just telling you what happened.
Oh, that's fair. Not your decision. You're just communicating. Just puzzles me to no end.
Now, if you can fade the music down, there really is some, like, very, very serious stuff about this story. Like, it is a little humorous. I can't lie to you, but there's some, like, real serious stuff in this. Like, some societal questions in all of this. It seems very obvious why he did this once you read the story. Listen to this. In police records obtained by the New York Times, he is described as a jumper who floats from hotel to hotel. His family are known homeless subjects and known to do auto burglaries at night. And when you read more about his story and his background, I think his family largely committed crimes to survive. I think they largely committed crimes to survive. In 2003, his mother, him, and his brother went to go eat at a restaurant with fake gift cards. They got arrested for it. As a kid, like, you just grew up in a very poverty-riddled environment. And what I think, if I'm going to psychoanalyze in this situation here, I think he found community for the first time in his life. And I think he found community in being a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think he found love and acceptance in being a fan of the Chiefs. And he didn't have the money to keep up the appearances, so he resorted to what he and his family did best, which is steal from people. Like, I'm sitting here reading some of the crimes that he was accused of, and these are just, listen to this. In Utah, he was arrested for he stole spoon holders and snack bags. Another time, he switched out the price tags on curtain rods and then attempted to return them for the full price. You don't commit those kind of crimes unless things are going really bad. Like, the robbing the bank, you're doing that to try to keep up appearances and, hey, I want to be down in Houston with all the Chiefs fans and I got to be Chiefsaholic. You're not switching out the price tags at the curtains at Target and trying to then exchange them for full. How much are you trying to get out of this transaction? A couple hundred dollars? I would really encourage you guys to read this. Like, we all have gotten our jokes off about Chiefsaholic, and I am no better than you in that regard. But this story really paints a person who I think was trying to keep up with appearances, and I would say then found love and appreciation as a Chiefs fan, and that was one of the first times in his life that he found it. Like, Rob, in the court, they make you sign like an affidavit. So in this, it says, while in custody, he signed an affidavit upon penalty of perjury that provides a stark contrast to his public persona. Persons in household, homeless, cash on hand, zero, bank account, none. Other possessions of value, none. Current employment, none. His entire life was wrapped up in a cheering for the Kansas City Chiefs. His entire life was wrapped around showing social media that he's had it. His entire life. This isn't me making this up. This is in the New York Times. Read the story. This is a crazy story. Like, it goes on to just talk about years of homelessness as a child. It's a crazy story. It really is a movie. Like, this is a movie. I feel sad for the guy. I'm not condoning what the man did in any capacity. I feel sad for this man. You read this story, and you find out a little bit more about his backstory, and you ask yourself, why are you robbing banks to go to Chiefs games? I think you will start to feel a little bit of sympathy for this man. This is a really, really sad story. I would encourage you guys to read in the New York Times about Chiefsaholic. Someone on the thing said the emergency alert system came on. I didn't know that. I'm sorry. But no, I would really encourage you guys to read this story and learn more about his family life. Can you imagine, Rob, just as a kid, that your mom tells you that she's taking you to eat and then you guys get arrested because the gift certificates she told you about were fake? This is you as a kid growing up. You're seeing this. His pops declared bankruptcy, left his family. You're homeless. I just think we know why he was doing some of the stuff that he was doing. I feel bad for the guy. I really do. I really feel bad for the guy.
I do feel bad for him, too, having read the story. You know, you get to know the actual person underneath the mask, for lack of a better term. But I will say, I mean, you painted it perfectly. He found a sense of community with the Chiefs and the Chiefs fandom and the super fandom and the whole deal. And he reverted back to learned behaviors when he had to keep up appearances. But that doesn't mean robbing banks and doing things of that nature is what you need to do, condoned at all. I'm sad that he had to only find that sense of community with Chiefs super fandom and felt like the only way to get that super fandom to continue was through literal bank robbery. But his backstory is very sad. But that does not mean that he gets scot-free from bank robbing.
No, I don't disagree with you. Someone on the text line says, "See, I don't feel sympathy for him at all. Stealing is a choice." I just think that once you get older, you start to realize that there are this life is not in black and white, and there is certainly color in our lives. And if you were trying to exchange curtain rods at Target the way that he was, you really need that money, for real. Like, you really, really need the money of what you're stealing at the Target. It is just an absolute crazy story. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll head to Denver. Earlier today, the Denver Broncos hired a new coach. They have hired Sean Payton to be their next head coach. We'll catch up with somebody in Denver here coming up in just a little bit. Rob, I can't get over this audio clip from Around the Horn earlier today. This is Courtney Cronin. Listen to this.
Joseph Osai was 1 second too late for the biggest play of his life. And to Frank's point, I just really don't know what more he could have done there. He's going full speed at Patrick Mahomes, whose foot is about 15% out of bounds at that point. And if he pulls up, then Patrick Mahomes can tuck and, you know, run a few more yards, pick up a first down, and then some. Like, he was kind of SOL at that point, to be quite honest with you. And to add injury to insult, you saw him hurt his knee there. He said to reporters after the game that he's going to have to get an MRI today. It's just unfair. And that's not the play that they lost the game on. There were plenty more moments for the Cincinnati Bengals that we can lay blame on more than the Joseph Osai unnecessary roughness play. I think we need to take a look at the unnecessary roughness rule as a whole. That should not be a 15-yard penalty.
Now, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong here. And I could be wrong. She said he was 15% out of bounds. 15%. He was out of bounds, though, right? I just want to clarify that he was 15% out of bounds. How much of him is in bounds? Because I saw a quarterback that is 100% out of bounds. Like, none of him is in bounds. So he is 100% out of bounds when he gets hit. Maybe I'm seeing the play very differently than the way that this woman is seeing the play. But the way that I see it, Patrick Mahomes has 0% of his body in bounds and 100% of his body out of bounds when the player then makes contact with him. This is a weird hill to die on. You know, a couple years ago in the NFC Championship game between the Saints and the Rams, if you want to say the officials cost us on that play, I understand. If you want to say that we would go to the Super Bowl if this play was called correctly, I would get it. I think something egregious happened there. You know what I don't have it in me to do is complain about correct calls. I don't have it in me to complain about correct calls. I said this back when they were determining the neutral site. All I want is the rules to be enforced the way that they are written. You know what I think happened on that play with Patrick Mahomes and Joseph Osai? I think the play was enforced as written. Now, was it the most egregious late hit I'd ever seen in my entire life? No, I don't think that. But we can all agree that the rules are pretty black and white. That one's not even subjective. There's a lot of things that happen on the NFL field that are subjective. Mahomes has three steps out of bounds and gets pushed to the ground. That's a penalty. I'm all for debating sports. There's some things we ain't got to debate. That penalty is not something we can debate. You want to talk about the game? You want to talk about the next game they got to play? What do you want to talk about? That's not something we really need to talk about. That's a penalty. That's a penalty. Sometimes I would say media in general, not even just sports media, they have a way of talking about something that then make you think you're crazy if you don't agree with them. Like, am I seeing this wrong? Should it only be a 5-yard penalty? Was it fair? Yes, the game was called fairly. Then you kind of snap back to reality. That's a penalty. That's not the only reason why they lost, but if we just want the final Chiefs offensive play of the game, a penalty occurred. Not a controversial penalty, a penalty occurred. And the officials called it correctly. The officials do enough things wrong that I'm not going to get on them when they do something right. You called it correctly. I'm not mad at you for calling it correctly. I applaud you for calling it correctly. I'd have been mad if they hadn't called a penalty in that situation, because that's been a penalty for as long as all of us have watched football. There's never been a time that we have watched football that wasn't a penalty. That when the quarterback is that far out of bounds and gets hit, they don't call it. That's never happened. So I'd have been mad if they hadn't called it in that situation.
I wonder if Joseph Osai's reaction, which we saw on camera, affects people's thought process on this. And I want this clear. I agree. It's a penalty. It's a penalty. It's the quarterback in 2023. Even if he is 15% out of bounds, which I disagree with, he's the quarterback. They protect the quarterback at all costs. It's an obvious penalty. But I wonder if Joseph Osai's reaction, which clearly hurt him to his core, that he felt like he cost the team the game, has people running out to the front of the line to be people to defend that he didn't actually cost his team because the penalty's wrong. I wonder if Osai's reaction leads to these takes, which, by the way, two things be true at once. It was a penalty, and I feel bad for the kid because he was the best Bengals defender on the field Sunday. He was fantastic.
He was.
It stinks that his name is now being brought up as guy who hit Mahomes late, but he was, in fact, the guy who hit Mahomes late.
I mean, Bill Buckner had a really good season until he didn't, you know? Bill Buckner had a great season until the moment he didn't. This is sports. You're right. I feel bad for Joseph Osai, the person. But as the player, you committed an obvious penalty and got flagged for it. That's life. That is the game that you signed up for. I'm sorry it had to be that way. But that's life. Coming up on the other side, we'll head to Denver, Colorado. Denver has a new head coach. Sean Payton is coaching the Broncos. We'll head to Denver coming up in just a bit. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Patrick Mahomes joins the show Mondays at 2:15 and 5:15. Right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Mitchell Schwartz, and you are listening to my friend C-Dot.
My former friend, my former pal, Mitchell Schwartz joins us in studio. Mitch, you knew how important banging the drum was to me.
On the Drive.
Let's head to the phone lines right now and go to Denver, Colorado to be joined by Josh Dover of Altitude 92.5. The reason we're heading to Denver is they have hired a new coach. They have hired Sean Payton. as the next head coach of the Denver Broncos. Josh, it seems like there is a little bit of a discrepancy. It seems like some reports say that they really wanted DeMeco Ryans. Some say that they weren't interested, that it was Sean Payton or bust. What's your understanding of this coaching search?
Well, you know what? You nail your third number one choice, right? That's what it feels like here in Denver as well. It was a little back and forth. I mean, they're in Ann Arbor just a few days ago, just, you know, double checking, seeing if Jim Harbaugh really was happy as a Wolverine. And apparently he was, and apparently DeMeco and, you know, the ties to Houston looked like he was going there, which has obviously come true here today. And so Sean Payton is the next runner up and gets the deal done, and they do what they have to do to get it from New Orleans with draft compensation. But yeah, it looks like they were a little confused. I mean, they're going to sell the heck out of it to us when the press conference happens. We're being told actually not until next Monday, which is a little strange. So we have to wait through the week, but they'll sell to us. This was the plan. They just had to work out compensation the entire time, but it looks like they were a little confused and had like three number one choices at any given time, whoever wanted to dance with them. And ultimately it's Sean Payton.
That's interesting. So you don't believe that Sean Payton was their number one candidate?
No, not at all. I think Jim Harbaugh was from the jump. And then Jim kind of played back and forth talking to the organizations that were looking for a head coach. Then, you know, used that leverage to get the money from Michigan there, which obviously hasn't even been announced officially yet. So that's why they were able to go make the visit. And even the fact that Jim took the meeting, Carrington, I mean, that shows that there was at least something there for Jim to benefit on. But must have, you know, taken the no at least officially this time. So I think it was Harbaugh the entire time. And now, and even after that, I think it was DeMeco Ryans and then Sean Payton.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Dover here of Altitude 92.5 in Denver. The Broncos have hired Sean Payton to be their next head coach. So let's talk about the hire. If you're going to fix Russell Wilson, I can't think of a candidate that's better suited to try to fix him than Sean Payton. I think this is a great hire for the Broncos. What do you think?
Yeah, look, he's got the best offensive resume, right? With what he was able to do 16 years in New Orleans, having a top 10 offense for a decade plus in that stretch. Now, caveat, he had Drew Brees. Can Russell Wilson kind of be a version of Drew Brees? Although, you know, Carrington, you did call him an Instagram influencer a couple of days ago on my show. However, there's some hope, I guess, in Broncos country, because that's really all these fans can hang on to because they're so tied to him financially. But you're right. If you're tied to Russell Wilson, you double down on this coach hiring, right? You've lost a whole bunch of money at the casino that is Russell Wilson. Well, let me go chase my own tail in the same casino and double down by hiring a coach. But if you're going to get your money back via Russell Wilson, this is going to be your best opportunity to do it. So, yeah, as far as that aspect, I'm with you. I like that.
I mean, I would agree with you. I think they were stuck in a lot of ways. And if you've committed yourself to Russell Wilson right now, your only option is to try to get yourself from out from under and try to fix it. And Payton was the guy to do it. The compensation, Denver trades their first round pick this year, which is pick 29, I believe. And next year's second round pick for Sean Payton, they get a 2024 third round pick in exchange. Are you happy with the compensation?
I mean, the draft was already a mess because of the Russell Wilson thing, but something we were talking about on the show today and with our afternoon show after mine. The compensation now, if you look at it from Broncos' perspective, to get Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, you're trading a couple of firsts, a handful of seconds. Denver's now not going to have a second-round pick for three straight years, a couple of thirds, Shelby Harris, Noah Fant, and Drew Locke to get Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, which in year one, as we all know, was a complete disaster. As far as the compensation, I like that they got a third back because of it. It was the cost of doing business, and you were almost left at the altar, right, with the head coaches out there. So the compensation doesn't hurt me too much because I already kind of swallowed the pill of there's no draft capital in the Broncos organization anyway.
Well, as Kansas City gets ready for the Super Bowl, you guys get ready for the Senior Bowl. Congrats, Josh.
That's what we do, man. In January, we look for coaches and quarterbacks while y'all play for Super Bowls.
That is Josh Dover of Altitude 92.5 joining us on the show. Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you. That's my guy, Josh Dover, Altitude 92.5 in Denver, joining us on the show today. Someone says, I thought Denver already traded away their first-round pick for Russell Wilson. They have another first-round pick because they traded Bradley Chubb. So that's how they had the first-round pick from this year. So they have now traded that pick to New Orleans. They don't have a second-round pick for the next three drafts. Let's call it what it is. The Broncos have gone broke trying to catch up with the Kansas City Chiefs. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me that the Broncos have not gone broke trying to catch up with Kansas City. They don't have any draft picks. They have a 30-something-year-old quarterback. I think we're going to find out here in a couple of days how much money the Broncos gave Sean Payton to come coach their team, and I think you will be astonished at how much money they had to give him. They're spending a lot of money to come in third place in the AFC West. They've gone broke. They're trying to live way beyond their means. You could have just done it the old-fashioned way and, you know, just drafted your own quarterback and had a little bit of patience, tried to build, you know, do it the Kansas City way, the Cincinnati way, the Buffalo way. But no, you thought it was a shortcut to success. And now look at you. You're upside down on your house. Someone on the text line says the Broncos owner must have watched draft day. Yeah. Yeah. I can't add anything to that. That's perfect. I think Kevin Costner would have had more draft picks than what the Broncos have, right? They don't have a second-round pick for the next. This is what I don't get. I don't know how you can, if you're the Broncos, and let's say you're trying to be the Chiefs, right? Let's say that you see what the Chiefs are doing, you think, man, we got to keep up. We got to do it. Well, the Chiefs are in the business of keeping draft picks. They're in the business of using those draft picks and turning them into starters. I mean, that's part of keeping up with the Chiefs, is it not? I mean, we just watched the AFC Championship game. This was a team that was put together through their own hard work. Am I off? I look at the way that the Chiefs built their team, and I look at the way that and how they won this game. Patrick Mahomes, they drafted him. Isaiah Pacheco, 7th-round draft pick. Mecole Hardman, draft pick. Travis Kelce, draft pick. Like, they built their team through turning those draft picks into productive starters and players for the team. How do you do that if you're Denver, if you don't have any picks? How do you do it? So let's just keep the Chiefs have a better quarterback than you. They also have more draft picks, and they're hitting on those draft picks than you. How do you close the gap? The coach you have isn't better than the coach they have. The quarterback you have isn't better than the quarterback that they have. How do you close the gap if you're the Broncos? It's just a lot of hoping and wishing from the Broncos, which, I mean, good luck to them, man. I've been wrong before. Good luck to them, but this just doesn't seem like the plan and trying to catch up to the Chiefs. It seems very, very backwards. Very, very backwards. Like in a dating sense, and I got to get my dating analogy out of here. Like, you're spending a lot of money trying to impress that girl. Bro, she don't like you. Like, if you got to do all that to try to win her affection, she is not in it because she really cares about you. She's in it because she wants to continue to eat a Capital Grill. That's why she's in it. She is not in it because you guys are having these great experiences. She's having a great experience. You're paying for it. That's what the Broncos are doing. Well, you know, if we just trade this draft pick, this is the one. No, that's not how you do it. There are no shortcuts to this. Cincy didn't go through a shortcut. Buffalo didn't go through a shortcut. Philadelphia didn't go through a shortcut. Look at Philadelphia's roster. Good luck, Denver. I hope it works out for you guys. Coming up on the other side, we continue to make fun of the Cincinnati Bengals who are going out sad. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild.
Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.